What is up, you guys? It's your host, Valerie Guzman, and welcome to the Falterner Birth Charts podcast. Yes, birth chart, not stars. So if you were looking for a John Green podcast, I am so sorry. Over here, we only discuss all things astrology. Everything from your big three to how to manifest and how to help you understand all of this information and use it to your advantage in your love life, mental health, work life, and everything in between. Today we will be discussing how to even understand a birth chart, because it could get very confusing. But before we get into that, thank you so much for joining me, and let's get started. Before there was technology, humans used to look up to the stars to get a lot of information. This could be for directions, or farmers use them a lot to know when to grow certain food. Nowadays, we look up into the stars to look into astrology. But this is nothing new. In 1500 BC, Babylonians divided the sky over a period of time into 12 parts. This is what we know today as 12 months in a year and 12 zodiac signs. These zodiac signs are what you most likely recognize as your sun sign. So the month you're born, the day you're born, you can easily find what zodiac sign you are. For example, I was born July 11th. That makes me a Cancer. But I'm not only a Cancer zodiac sign, and that's the tricky part. We actually have all kinds of signs in our birth chart, sometimes all of them. But the only way to find this out is by knowing our birth time. And yes, sometimes our parents forget when we were born, and you know, it can get kind of tricky, but don't worry. You can still find a lot about your birth chart just by knowing the date of your birth and where you were born. And I'm assuming you obviously know when your birthday is. The only thing you won't get is your rising sign, as this is quite time sensitive, changing every 30 minutes. But don't worry, the most important ones are there, and I will let you know how to understand all of those. So right now, grab your computer. Or you know what, maybe text your mom first. Find out your birth time and grab your computer and Google rising sign calculator. This will bring out the most accurate websites to calculate your birth chart. Go in and put all of your information, and then you're gonna have a bunch of weird things come up, and I'm here to help you decipher them. First things first, you need to know what the big three is. The big three refers to your sun, your moon, and your rising sign. As I mentioned previously, if you have your accurate birth time, we can calculate your accurate rising sign. If not, you will not get it. But that's okay. First of all, your rising sign is the mask that you wear and how people perceive you. Sometimes you can outgrow this sign, or sometimes you can actually relate to this sign more than your sun sign. So if you're ever reading a horoscope, or if someone tells you, oh my god, you're a Cancer, you're like this, this, and this, and you're like, I don't feel like that, you most likely relate to your rising sign more. Some people even suggest that you actually read your rising sign's horoscope. Horoscopes are a tricky thing, but reading your rising sign's horoscope is the most accurate you can get, because sometimes your sun sign doesn't really resonate with you. Moving on to your sun sign, this is what you probably know because Western astrology likes to highlight this sign the most. Honestly, I find it the least interesting just because it's the one that we have like the most information of, but it's so redundant, and I feel like the rising and the moon influences you the most, but we'll give it its highlight as well. Your sun sign is basically your ego, who you are at your core. If you're a Gemini, you're a very fast thinker. You have a lot of mood swings, which is okay. You know, the Geminis are the twins. You can be very hot and cold, you're very talkative, or you can be very reserved. It changes with the mood. But that's who you are at your core. The rising sign, say you're a Gemini with a Leo rising, you really love social scenes. You flourish with them, you love being the center of attention, and that's okay. That's when you feel your most happy. And that's a mix that you get with your rising and your sun sign. Say you're a Gemini with a Cancer rising. You feel your best when you are mothering someone, when you have the opportunity to lend a hand, when you have the opportunity to build a family. These zodiac signs are very polar opposites, but when in combination, you can bring the best aspects of them together. And that's why, as a human being, we have so many aspects to our personality. And trying to make them all fit into one sun sign is very difficult. Moving on to moon signs, my favorite. I love this because as a Scorpio moon, you know, I share the same moon sign as Beyonce and Scarlett Johansson. So, you know, I feel a little extra pump in my step since I've known that. But moon signs are very complicated. And honestly, I feel like that's why they're my favorite. They're your inner self. They're who you truly are when you're alone. They are your most inner thoughts. So, say you are an Aries with a Cancer moon. Aries are usually very, very fiery and, you know, very upbeat. Sometimes they could have some problems with aggression, but you know that's an underdeveloped Aries. But you're always very upbeat, fiery, ready to go. A Cancer person is very much reserved, more of a homebody. And if you have that moon, means that when you are alone, you are quite emotional by yourself. With that Aries, you try to like mask it by, you know, going out, maybe going out for a run. But at your core, you're very sensitive. And it takes a while to let people in and show that aspect of you. The people that will most likely know your moon sign is either your family or the person that you fall in love with. Because when we are in love, our moon signs, you know, they just come rushing in. And that's what really shows up in our love life. Okay, we cannot talk about love life and astrology unless we're talking about our big five. In addition to our big three, we also have our Venus and our Mars. I don't know if you've heard this, but there's this very famous book that's called Men Are From Mars, Women Are From Venus. Basically, the way astrology has put this is that Venus represents the divine feminine and Mars represents the divine masculine. When you have a Venus in Libra, means that you are very flirty, very much a love addict. Maybe not an addict, but you love the idea of love. But if you're an Aquarius in your Venus, then you're a little bit more independent. You don't really care about relationships. You're a little bit more, you know, I feel like I don't have to get married in order to succeed or anything like that. So you're a little bit more cold and collected. And I'm sorry to those Harry Styles fans, but Harry Styles does have a Venus in Aquarius. So he's not that lovey-dovey, just letting you guys know. But that's totally okay. It doesn't mean that if you have a Venus in Aquarius, you're not going to fall in love. It's just, it takes a little bit of time and you think more with your mind. You need a partner that stimulates you intellectually. With Mars, it has to do a lot more with sex and aggression. If you have a Aries in Mars, when you are mad, you are mad. You let people know and you are very passionate as well in love. If you are a Cancer in Mars, then you are very much very protective of the people that are around you. You are ready for a fight to defend anybody. But when it comes to you fighting by yourself, you're a little bit more reserved. You tend to go a little bit more into your shell as the crab that represents you. So look up your Mars sign and then you'll totally see the way you act when you are mad. And maybe you can kind of fix that. Or if you're like, okay, I'm totally okay with this reaction, then just warn people next time, you know, like, hey, I'm a Taurus Mars, so I'm going to be very stubborn. And it's going to be my way or the highway. And that's fine. You know, we're not perfect at all. It's the fault in our birth charts. Okay. It's in the title. Moving on to the other planets that are there as well. We have Mercury, which you probably have heard of Mercury in retrograde. Mercury has to do with everything communication. So when Mercury's in retrograde, surprise, surprise, every kind of communication goes down. Recently, we had the outage. Well, I wouldn't say outage, but Facebook, Instagram, and WhatsApp, they all went down. It all had to do with Mercury in retrograde. And a lot of people are going to be like, no, it's just like it was a coincidence. But if you keep track of the times that we have outages during the year, it probably coincides with Mercury. I also had a power outage 2 days ago and we are still in Mercury retrograde. And also when we talk about communication and like closing cycles, Mercury is there as well. So in Mercury retrograde, a lot of exes come up. Thankfully it ends October 18th, so we're gonna be okay. But in terms of your birth chart, Mercury really shows the way you communicate with people. With a Virgo and Mercury, you know exactly what tone to use with the people that they have to be. You're very polite, very political, and you are very specific with the kind of tone that you use in every situation. If you have a Gemini in Mercury, oh my God, you do not stop talking, but it's great. You have that wit to you, you have that charm, but you might be a little bit talkative. If you have a Capricorn in Mercury, you can be a little bit dry, you can be a little bit like straight to the point, you know, a little bit harsh, but it's great for business because Capricorn is all about money. You know how to talk business, you know how to talk money. So if you want to go into business career, just please check what kind of Mercury you have. And if you have Capricorn, go for it. You're going to make a ton of money. That's what we have for Mercury. For Jupiter, which is my favorite placement, I love looking into other people's Jupiters and just seeing what they're so lucky at. Jupiter is all about luck. Its zodiac sign is Sagittarius, and that's why Sagittarius people, as messy and as wild as they are, they always come on top, you know? They always are super, super lucky. They have this way of just being charming and getting their way around and just being straight up lucky. So if you have a Sagittarius in your Jupiter, then let me tell you, you can go play the lottery. You're very, very lucky. If you have, let's go back with Capricorn. At Capricorn and Jupiter, you are very, very lucky in business. So go ahead, open a store. I don't know, go to investment banking. Live your best finance life. If you are, well, my Jupiter is in Gemini, and hello, hello, I'm in communications, I'm doing a podcast. I'm very lucky when it comes to communications. I get most of my opportunities by talking to people. Networking is a big thing for me. So if you have a Gemini in Jupiter, use it to your best advantage and just go ahead, talk to people, and they will see who you truly are through your words. So moving on to Uranus and Saturn, haha, cute in the Uranus jokes. I know, while I say it, I'm like, oh my God, I should probably put a trigger warning here. Yes, Uranus. These planets are generational. They're kind of alike, but let me separate them for a second so I can truly, truly explain them to you. So Saturn has to do with the father because it has to do with discipline. It has to do with how you look and face your fears. It has to do with how you put boundaries in your life. So Saturn is, as I said, generational. It changes every 2 to 3 years. When I was born, Saturn was in Taurus. So if you were born in the 2000s, you are probably a Taurus Saturn, which we are lucky because it means that if we get married, we will have a long marriage. Woo! Because we are very, very traditional, and Saturn is all about tradition. Taurus is all about tradition, and it's all about being steady. So you will have a steady marriage if you want to have one. But if you have a Saturn in Aquarius, well, you will have a little bit of trouble of wanting to settle down because you're going to be very independent. You're going to try and challenge, you know, the status quo. You might not get married. You might just like want to have a relationship for a long time, and that's okay. Absolutely okay. It just means that you struggle a little bit more with tradition and you want to break it. You find happiness in breaking it and building your own reality, which truly is amazing in itself. When it comes to Uranus, I can't stop saying that and just cringing at myself. Uranus is also generational. It's like the quirky planet. You know, Aquarius, which is the quirky sign of the zodiac, is ruled by Uranus. It's honestly like the most straightforward planet for me. Just to give you an example, in the 1920s, Uranus was in Aquarius. And when that happened, we had so many technological advances. We got radios, we got television, we got cameras, we got electricity in itself. We got so many things, so many advantages. And the next time that Uranus was in Aquarius was in the 2000s. And what did we get in the late 90s and early 2000s? We got the internet. Guys, I'm telling you, if you want to believe in astrology, just look up Uranus placements and history. The relationship between them is insane. Now that you know all of these placements, you will begin to understand a lot more of your personality and how astrology can relate to it. If you want to get a personalized horoscope, I would recommend you download the app called CoStar. They implement your birth chart and they really give you advice based on how the planets are in regards to your natal chart. Just a warning, they can be a little bit harsh. And it's this ongoing meme online of how CoStar can be a little bit harsh every day when you don't need it. I personally deleted it because I was like, okay, this is too real. I cannot look into a mirror right now, you know. I need some time to make my own decisions. But if you really want to go for it, download it. You will be surprised. Anyways, I hope this brief explanation has been very helpful to you and will encourage you to look into your own birth chart and use these placements to your advantage. Honestly, knowing yourself can be very helpful in deciding what path you should take in your life. And if you're feeling a little bit lost, a little help doesn't hurt. Thank you so much for joining me today. Don't forget to tune into my next episode where I will be discussing new moons, full moons, and how to manifest all of your wishes during them. I am Valerie Guzman, your host, and I will see you next time.